Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't, and where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, hello, everybody, and tonight we're going to do an update with Larry Taylor and myself, and I don't know exactly where to start with this thing. Larry, have you got a good starting point? I mean, there's so much going on over there in the Golan. Maybe we should start with the Golan Heights.
Yeah, that I guess we could because, you know, almost a couple of months ago now, you know, I began to get reports from the Middle East that Israel was getting ready and preparing to go to war. I mean, that was the terminology. We're going to war. And apparently it was already set to begin. But now we're beginning to find out that it appears to be a war on the Golan Heights. Iran, of course, as you know, has major forces in the region, and their Hezbollah have joined up. Israel's been having a lot of problems just outside on the Syrian side of the Golan Heights border.
Right.
They've been having problems there. And, you know, the latest data seems to be, and from the generals also in Israel, it appears that they are prepared and ready and girded their, matter of fact, have their people ready for a Golan war. And, you know, we wondered, there was a recent post from Mina Lee Gribben that she had been told by the Lord that Israel would actually attack Iran. And, you know, we're beginning to wonder, and from the data I've been gleaning off of Israel's news and reports, is that they full well know that the Hezbollah and the forces that are gathered there just outside the Golan Heights border that now has brought in artillery pointed it at Israel, that this is led and directed by right out of Tehran, Iran. And so I can begin to see now how when this war does begin to start, Israel is going to maybe go right at the source, and that's going to be Iran.
Well, maybe this is the Isaiah 17 conflict, because if they're going to attack Iran, I just can't understand why they wouldn't hit Syria at the same time, if not just slightly before. But they have to be careful now, and maybe that's why Putin has got his military bases there, because a strike on Syria could very easily involve Putin and his army, and that might invoke Iran too, and that brings us into Daniel chapter 8, which a lot of people argue about who's who, but that would go along with that vision. What does that vision say about the United States? What do we do in that vision?
Well, there's one where Iran goes to war with, I mean, Israel goes to war with Iran, and
right.
Of course, right now, Israel clearly knows that Iran is directing these attacks. There's recently been, you know, upgraded attacks from Hamas that have been firing missiles again into Israel. The Palestinians are attacking, you know, through Hamas and others and doing their terror attacks. You know, even some of the ISIS forces are down in that region, you know, at the same time that, and we do know that Turkey at one time, and Iran also had been funneling weapons to ISIS forces. So, you know, the whole scheme of things. Now, the interesting thing is, you know good and well that, you know, who allies with Iran and Hezbollah both, and that's Bashar Assad, Assad of Syria. And so this seems, and of course we all know that, you know, Iran basically is running the show. But there, Mina-Lee Griffin also had a vision she posted today, which was today's vision, you know, September the 7th, 2016. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, she saw some kind of incident. She saw three towers, and then one, you know, she said at the top of one tower, there was Erdogan, you know, Turkey, and then the other top of the other one was Russia, which was Putin. And she said at the top of our tower, the U.S., which is the tallest tower, she said there wasn't anybody right there. There was nobody there. And so what's interesting, though, she said if her vision's accurate, it says that she saw two explosions occur, one in the tower belonging to Russia and one that belonged to Turkey. And even though the U.S. did not do it, the blame was somehow laid on the U.S., and they began to ally and begin to come against the U.S., in other words, begin to, you know, direct their forces to take on the U.S., even though, and I began to think about that. I was thinking about that, Stuart. I thought, who would set the U.S. up for that kind of fall? Well, of course, the rich men would. George Soros.
Yes.
Any of those would. And that may be what prophetically she was seeing is, and you know, I thought about the explosions in the two towers. They might not have been really physical explosions. I wondered almost if one of them, the one with Turkey, in other words, the trouble that was beginning in the House of Turkey was actually the coup, you know, and then the deal with Russia, of course, that came out today where there appeared to be an assassination plot against Putin in Russia.
Putin.
So, you know, I could be way off on all that, but, you know, that's prophetically looking in the direction. But I do know that there are things. Go ahead.
Yeah, they are saying that there was an assassination attempt that's coming out of the Russian press. So I guess they've done some investigating. And so they're going to blame that. So you might be right. It might have been the coup there, the assassination attempt. I mean, if Putin finds out that Obama and the rest of them, which is what Sorja Fall said, is behind it, if I remember her article correctly, basically the U.S. was behind it, and the neocons, the article said, neocons of the United States. Well, if that's true, then why wouldn't he get upset? And, you know, they're doing everything they can to push him into a war. I'm not exactly sure why, because even our own military people have said we're not going to win it. But maybe that's the whole object. Maybe Obama knows we can't win it, and that brings us down. But
I was just going to ask you, talking what you just said brings us down. Did you see the Holly Deo's news headline today?
No.
Okay, she's got a statement from George Soros, which we know is one of the rich men, and it says George Soros has said that Western society must fall before the one world government can be established. So that tells you their direction.
Yeah, well, they do have to bring us down. I don't think they got any choice. And the American people are so decadent at this point that obviously the Lord's not going to step in and stop it. And I'm wondering if this deal with Israel and the Golan War, if that accelerates, does not lead to the Isaiah 17 and the Israeli mistake of the bots. Remember how the bots said that this was going to be a major miscalculation on the part of Israel.
Yeah.
It was, they called it simply the Israeli mistake. And perhaps that is the attack. You know, Syria, according to Isaiah 17, is wiped off the map, basically. Now, it's not happened. Yes, it is virtually a ruinous heap, but there's still a lot of chemical, biological weapons stashed in and around there. and it indicates that that's probably a nuclear operation, because it says that all the other Arab cities round about flee. They flee out of their cities, probably thinking they're next on the hit list.
Yeah.
You know, because Israel is well known for its preemptive operations. And I guess in some ways you can't blame them. You know, no matter what Israel does, Israel's wrong. And so they, you know, this tiny sliver of land is amazing that it's causing so much consternation in the world. But that's Zechariah and the rest of them, this is what they exactly what they said was going to happen. That Israel becomes a thorn in the flesh of the entire world. And so, yeah, maybe this is what we're watching. So Iran is, now, is this Hamas, or who are they using for proxies in this amassing of troops and weaponry on the Golan or by the Golan Heights?
Well, the main proxy that... Yeah, I was just going to say the main proxy at the moment that's massing the troops and also bringing up the artillery is Hezbollah. And,
Hezbollah.
But, of course, Hamas, is they're linked into this. So they're also a proxy of Iran. And there has been some instances lately where the Syrian military is also, or Syrian army posts have been firing mortar rounds, you know, into Israel, and Israel will take out one of their posts every once in a while to stop that. So this has been ongoing for some time, and Israel has known this is coming. And I remember what you said about the Israeli mistake. One of the things that's interesting is the fact the warnings that I have heard in the background somewhat was that when Lebanon and Syria and all of this begins with Hezbollah, and we're talking thousands of missiles. I mean, we're literally talking thousands of missiles. And but when this starts, Israel is going to go big. They've already warned Beirut and Damascus that if this war starts, that Israel will go big. And now what that means, I can't tell you. I don't know the answer to that. But it sounds like there will be a really massive military response. And could it be, Stuart, that really, it's almost like a false front or a false flag, the attack on Israel's border, the northern border there, you know, the Golan Heights. And Israel goes a lot bigger than what they really would have had to defend themselves. I don't know.
Well, who was it that had the vision? Was it Henry Groover? Who was it? He had a vision that, and, you know, I hear all these visions, and I just kind of file them away because you never know what's true and what isn't. But something that Israel did that I think they went in and they killed every Palestinian man, woman, baby, child, everything. They just wiped them off the face of the map. And the world became so incensed that they held a world meeting, I think it was in Geneva or something like that. Do you remember that vision at all?
Yeah,
and
I do, actually. That was Henry Groover that had that. He actually wrote a book talking about the end of the Palestinian problem, that Israel decides enough is enough, and they really literally put an end to it. Of course, there's a you know, sometimes you have these visions and you wonder, it's almost like a fork in the road. Which decision will they make? There is another vision also, and I don't remember the name of the person, that simply saw an attack by Russia against Israel, and the Palestinians were in the middle, and Russia literally wiped the Palestinians out attacking Israel. They came right over the Palestinian areas and wiped them completely out, and they was gone. And, of course, there wouldn't be any outcry in the world over that. But if Israel did it, there certainly would be. So I don't know. You know, a lot of times, you know, when it's almost like Tor codes, Stuart. Sometimes when we have something and we think it's going to go one way, sometimes there's a delay or it actually goes another direction.
Well, it's kind of like the prophecies on Trump. He's good and going to cause a delay, and he's evil, and he's not ever going to get elected.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
kind of like another fork in the road. But with the Israeli mistake, I mean, militarily, I can't imagine that they would not take out Damascus. And
yeah.
Who was it that said that they were going to use those 10,000 or 100,000 missiles on Israel if they, you know, started something? Was that,
Shah? That was Nasrallah. He's the Hezbollah chief, and there is no real, you know, there was a Christian-backed government in Beirut for some time, but Hezbollah's basically run them out, killed their leader, you know, I can't remember the guy's name that was, you know, the group leading it,
mm-hmm.
And Hezbollah, you know, Lebanon basically now is totally Hezbollah, and which means they're just terrorists now. They're run by Iran, the Ayatollah. And they're financed by them, but see, Damascus is in the same ship. I mean, with Hezbollah, they're, you know, Lebanon and Syria, they're all in the same boat. And from what I've heard, there's a planned response prepared already for this attack that Israel's waiting on to begin, and they've already warned Beirut and Damascus both that they're going to go big with this when they get attacked, and so. I suppose we're waiting, but, you know, you saw the information coming out today, and what's interesting, we're hearing none of this. We don't know anything in America about a Golan war about to break out. We don't have a clue in America. There's none of this
even,
on the news anymore.
Yeah, are they even were reporting on this attempted possible assassination attempt on Putin?
Just barely. You're getting it on, that report's coming out of the Middle East and Europe, and you're getting it out of some of the, you know, some people call wingnut groups like, you know, Sarkofall, and of course we know kind of who that is. But it actually did make the Drudge Report today. So, and of course people don't like the Drudge Report either. And it was on Breitbart.com, which Breitbart's allied now with Trump, so people don't like it either. And so, It's all the news that is politically incorrect, that's where this is coming out of.
Well, it just makes you wonder, because the Isaiah 17 conflict appears to link almost immediately to the Ezekiel 38-39 conflict, the Gog-Magog War. So we could be right on the verge.
Well, there's something else that's occurring that, you know, and I wanted to, you know, tell you, ask your opinion of it. There, you know, I did post it. I don't know if you saw it or not, but the Israeli News Live
mm-hmm.
has been reporting today that not only a couple of days ago did Putin's Navy, the Russian Navy, begin to leave the Crimea area and go, you know, into the Black Sea. But the Israeli news is reporting, and they have actually, I saw the video, during the night, the Turkish Navy left without lights. I mean, their warships left without lights and have moved out now away from Turkey, and they're moving towards the Black Sea to join with the Russian Navy. Now, this is unprecedented. I mean, it almost makes you wonder, this appears to be a military link-up that nobody had planned on. And leave the harbor with no lights. I mean, they didn't even use lights to leave at all, and that's unusual for any kind of shipping, you know.
Total blackout.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I also heard English ships were in the Black Sea along with ours. So why are we having this gathering, so to speak? What would be the purpose for Iran and Russia and probably some of her allies out there, along with NATO, English, American forces, what could be the possible reason for that? Would this be a possible gearing up for Ukraine, or could this have something to do with Inkalut Air Base and the, the nuclear matches that they've got there?
Have you heard any more about those
nuclear matches?
No, there has been a blackout covering that base and the NATO arsenal. A total, you know, after that little bit came out about a movement that they were beginning to move some of those nuclear weapons, I mean, a blackout came down like you ain't never seen on that one. That is not a subject. And but what's interesting, though, what's so interesting there is that Putin now basically has a lot of ships, could really come down and set around the Ukraine, who really has been flexing their saber, I guess you could say, lately, their military saber. And Putin has really been moving an incredible ground force into the Crimea and the southern region there of Ukraine. He may go to war. I mean, I don't know. I know that everybody's pushing. But, hey, did you hear today about that Russian plane that flew within 10 feet of our spy plane today?
Yeah, that's pretty close. And I know how close that is because I had an incident like that. Actually, it was I was taking off out of Cleveland, and it was bad weather. And we were on what they call a standard instrument departure, a SID, and we're climbing up. I was in the captain's seat, and the co-pilot, first officer, yells out, "Look!" And I look up, and I see a wing pass over the top of the cockpit.
Wow.
It was so close I could actually see the rivets. Well, you're that close, you either miss or you're dead. And so you don't really react. But for a military fighter like the Russians coming within 10 feet, that's dangerous, believe me. One miscalculation
and
you've got a problem.
Yeah, and well, the interesting thing is, now here's the interesting part of that article. I mean, you know, I know you read it, but here's the part that nobody wrote down. The U.S. spy plane that they were using is one of those that searches for submarines deep under the water.
Oh.
And they were searching the Black Sea there, only 500 miles south of Moscow.
Now, what would they be searching for there? Do we have any guesses, or do the first two not count?
So they're
gearing up for something.
Yeah.
They got to be gearing up for something. You still there?
Well, yeah, we're seeing more and more of the movement, though, of the military, you know, gear. And you know, all of this is, it seems to be, we're beginning to, it appears to be a collision course, if you know what I'm saying. It's almost like, and of course we know that the rich men want the war. I mean,
absolutely.
Because you know, there's already been an admission by basically not only U.S. generals, but also by some of the NATO people that, you know, if we come up against Russia, NATO and the U.S. going to lose. And see, in the middle of the game, too, there's other things in the middle of the game. You remember when Obama went to the G20 meeting, you know, the North Korean guy, he fired 3 missiles at Japan. Well, nothing happened other than what they reported today is Japan tried to go to alert and bring the missiles down, and they failed. So Japan has found themselves to be basically defenseless. And they're leaning on support from an American president that is, probably not going to be there. You know, I mean,
that's a very plain
you know,
way of wording it.
Yeah, he may be there, but nobody's home. I'll put it that way for any defense.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. Well, when you look at the overall Bible prophets. Then you go into Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Revelation. Not only does America lose, America's annihilated, according to the prophets. And you know, it's very, very interesting because they're working on this new missile system, Russia is, Putin is, they've got these, what do they call them, Hellfire missiles or whatever they call them? That
no,
are
they
supersonic
got, they,
now?
Well, they've got that new Satan II nuclear weapon that they say is, can actually literally take out a state at a time. It would take out, in Europe, it would take out a literal country at a time. Just one would take out an entire country. The capital and everything, I guess, all, you know, around it for miles. And they say that Satan II is just incredible. And so, and of course we know that China's another one that has new planes. They've got new, those new missiles you're talking about also. I just don't understand, other than the rich men pushing, why we keep prodding not only the bear, we're prodding North Korea and China and all this other, and, you know, we're not in a position to defend ourselves from them.
Yeah, what is going on in the China Seas? That's still heating up, is it not, if I recall correctly? I mean,
China's in charge. Well, actually, when Obama landed at the airport there, or at the G20 summit there in China, not only did they not put out the red carpet, they didn't give him any carpet. And he had to climb out of, and I'm going to quote this. It said that because they didn't bring Obama any carpet or anything to unland off of his aircraft, he had to literally get down out of the ash of the airplane.
and that
was not good diplomatic protocol. So they really snubbed him big time.
Well, what did Obama do to Netanyahu?
Same thing.
You know, what goes around comes around.
That's what I've heard.
So they better watch it. It's getting more and more dangerous, because you can't tell me that, you know, the only thing I find here that is, how do I say, interesting, where is our space fleet, the TR-3Bs and all of this? If we have that kind of weaponry, how could we lose?
Well, let me say this, Stuart. You know, we've known for some time that a lot of these secret, I guess you could say projects, they didn't fall under the purview of the President of the United States, or apparently a lot of the U.S. military. So could it be that the CIA and the rich men literally own the good stuff and the U.S. don't?
It's very possible. And it's also very possible they could simply stand down and let it play out.
Yeah.
The way they want it. There's no question now that we have anti-gravity devices, huge anti-gravity devices. Getting off onto that little subject, I found an article a long time ago, UFOs over Bird's Little America. You remember the Operation High Jump?
Oh, yeah.
And Admiral Byrd took. Well, somebody went and searched the archives of the pictures from what was taken down there, which evidently a lot of pictures were taken. And kind of like NASA trying to airbrush out things, some of the pictures got through. Now, you remember you heard the story and everybody poo-pooed it and said that Admiral Byrd's diary had been fixed and that the stuff that down in Antarctica and Operation High Jump wasn't really true. And when he went to the poles and, found the hole in the planet, blah, blah, that was all just hocus pocus. None of it was true. Well, we got some of the pictures. I'll scan them and email them down to you. There's UFOs in
good.
Those pictures.
Oh, my.
Yeah, there's flying saucers in those pictures. There's three or four of them.
Huh.
So maybe what he was reporting down there, and you may remember General MacArthur once said, the next war was going to be dealing with non-human entities, he thought, and it'd be global. So where did we get our technology from for the TR-3Bs and the Russian Cosmospheres and all of that? I know the military has all kinds of weird weaponry now, and we know what Stan Dale was working on. He was working on anti-gravity stuff down there in Antarctica. So obviously they must have huge bases down there somewhere.
Oh, I was going to ask you, did you get to watch that movie Interstellar?
Not yet, no. I'm going to watch it tonight, actually.
Well, you'll enjoy it. It's incredible because it deals with black holes, but it also deals with the solving of the anti-gravity issue in the movie, where they can actually lift off massive craft from the Earth by anti-gravity. And you remember Stan Deo, you know, for one thing, he indicated that there was holes in the planet, you know, like you're talking about. And he also, remember Stan said with the, what they were doing, he said that large was not a problem. In other words, he said where everybody thinks that they'd have a hard time, you know, using anti-gravity to lift off one little small craft, he said that it's not like that at all. He said it don't matter how big it is. You could lift it with anti-gravity.
Yeah, yeah, you could take the pyramid in Egypt and pull it right off. It doesn't weigh anything under anti-gravity. They can fly it anywhere they want. And that's what Dr. Peter Better claimed, that the Russian Cosmospheres were these huge, you've heard all these reports on the cigar-shaped objects that are long and they look like a cigar. Well,
I stood in Hugo, outside of Hugo, Oklahoma one day and looked right up at two of them. Matter of fact, they looked like 747s. They were big, really, really big.
Well, that's what he claimed. He claimed some of these were a mile or 2 miles long. Huge, huge craft that we can't even get our minds around. And they're kind of freighters and cargo haulers. And
well,
they're
let me
totally
tell you something,
anti-gravity. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to tell you that last night about 9 o'clock, I think it was. It was good. It was well dark. Here at the Oklahoma Mountain Gateway, I was in... been working under my room some, and I came out and I heard Darnett say, "What is that?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "That light outside." And we walked outside, turned the back light off, and looked up, and there was a huge white light, ball of light. It looked like a massive ball of light that was moving silently through the sky. And I grabbed my camera. She tried to use her iPhone, and when you look very closely, you could see that there was two looked like fighter jets flying on each side of this white ball of light, and they were moving south away from us. And do you know, we couldn't take pictures. My camera was a digital camera. I couldn't get anything. It wouldn't even show on the screen. And Darnett's iPhone, all she got was nothing when she'd take those pictures. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, and because the American people don't see it, they say it doesn't exist. But this stuff really does exist, folks out there listening. It is true. It's real. It does exist. And that's not the first time that these very strange anti-gravity devices are being, should we say, escorted by Air Force jets.
That's right.
So
I was going to mention that I don't know if many people remember it, but I do remember one time I had asked Stan Deo, I said, what would be the sign of America about to be taken out of the picture? And Stan said, and it kind of interested me because I wasn't sure what he would say. And he said, well, one of the interesting things is they'll begin to move those secret projects and a lot of secret aircraft before we get hit.
Uh-huh. Well, there's a lot of, pre-positioning, underground positioning. Now all the videos are beginning to surface about these. You know, we've known for years that there were huge underground tunnels and cities under there. And I remember one time I went to Denver and doing a seminar or something out there, and I got a ride from the internet to the new international airport in a cab, and we're just leaving the area, and he says, "Guess what? I bet you don't know what we're driving over." And we said, "No, what?" He said, "There's a huge city under here. It's massive. Miles."
Yeah.
And I said, "Well, how do you know that?" He says, "Because I've been down there many, many times." And I said, "Well, what about security?" And he kind of laughed, and he said, "Who's going to believe a cabbie?"
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I thought that was a pretty good answer, you know. Who would believe him? And yet we know those things exist, have existed. Now the videos are surfacing all over YouTube. They're real. And they've left us and the listeners, most of them anyway, out in the open to face what's coming. Speaking about facing what's coming, any more news on Nibiru or Planet X or Doom Shape or whatever you want to call it?
Well, you know, Ed Dames he kind of blew the whistle, you know, on the situation. And of course, since he did, others are beginning to talk. I heard that some of the scientists in Chile that had released that data also said that they were aware, you know, of what he's talking about. And they say that his location on it is accurate. And now, of course, you know, he also said that it's swinging around the sun in about a six-month swing. And well, that doesn't mean it's not affecting Earth at the same time. And that certainly doesn't mean that some of the entourage isn't out there too, you know.
Right, right. And do we know how many are in there? I mean, there have been different concepts and different pictures. There's at least four or five that look like planetoids. And then they might probably have moons, and then you've got comets and asteroids that are associated probably with it, too. I mean, this is not a small sun. It is in relation to our sun, but it's still a huge object. So,
yeah, the gravity pull would be on a dwarf star what we call a brown dwarf. You know, it would be smaller than our sun. Because it's collapsed basically and compact, but the gravity would be more than our sun, I believe, is how they say that works.
Yes.
So a lot of that stuff would be because of the gravity of this massive thing. It would be closer in to the object, I think, and the planets and the moons and such would be a little further out. The Chile Observatory, you know, they sent out the only image, and they actually got it out there before it was blacklisted. But there seems to be 5 to 7 planet-like objects with it. Now, what's interesting, Stuart, is there's a pastor in the Philippines that, you know, did I share with you about his experience with the angel?
Yeah, but for the people who didn't listen to that, go ahead.
Yeah, he's had a number of. He's a young youngster, and he's really moves in the spirit, and he has experiences and been shown a lot of things, and he had been praying about Nibiru. Is you know I have email contact with the pastor, which is his father. And I knew that was going on. And he said that the other day, an angel appeared to him and instructed him that the angel told him that Nibiru was real. The angel said, "It's closer than you think." And it told him to pray that more people would begin to learn about it. You know, the existence of this Nibiru have, of course, you know, my personal opinion is Nibiru is not actually one of the planets. Nibiru is the name of the brown dwarf, amongst others, but the Torah codes indicate that Nibiru, and it calls it a star, and so that would fit in with the binary star system that we're in, et cetera, et cetera, and this is the brown dwarf star of our binary star system, and it has its own planetoids. Now, the angel told the kid, you know, the boy in the Philippines, that there was life on one of those planets that was with Nibiru, but it was not human life. With no explanation.
Well, that'd probably be what we call Planet X, maybe.
Yeah.
Zechariah Sitchin did a lot of research on the ancient language. I've never quite been convinced because he contradicts the Bible a lot. But, who knows? And are they really non-human in the sense that they're physical beings, or are they fallen angels that materialize to throw us off and complete, what do we say, the basic part of the strong delusion?
Well, one of the interesting things, Stuart, is we don't really know how long ago Lucifer actually fell.
That's right.
You know, we know about Adam and the problems there, and of course we know about the fallen angels mating with human women, the Adamic women on the earth, and having giants and producing giants and all of this kind of thing. And we know that those giants, when they were killed, since there was no abode or place for the spirits of those giants to go to, they actually wound up being terrestrial spirits, you know, invisible terrestrial spirits that attack mankind. And
yeah.
But we really don't know the beginning of Lucifer and his rebellion and all of this. And you know, it's very possible that on that planet, you know, or wherever that is, that it could actually be a fallen angel or two or three or more, including some giants. But because we do know from data that leaked out of NASA and other things that, you know, they had found some kind of base. Now, they made this into a fiction novel, but the guy worked for NASA and said he had the real information. He said there was a base on the moon that giants had used pre-flood. So we do know that they had access. They had flying craft. We know of the Romana and all this kind of thing. I think humanity has no idea what has been kept hidden from them, not only on the planet and under the planet, but also in the solar system that we have.
Yeah, and no, I don't think we do either. When I was doing research on Tithonia, it became pretty obvious that somebody was up there long ago, and I think we're up there as well in anti-gravity devices and whatnot, and dark side of the moon, that's pretty obvious now with the leaks of insiders and whatnot, and even pictures that are surfacing. So, you know, they can keep this stuff hidden for a while, but they can't keep it hidden forever. And the same's going to be with Nibiru. When this thing swings around, how do you say it doesn't exist when you're looking up at the sky and watching it? And, you know, I've always wondered that the Lord said that the sea and the waves are roaring. Well,
yeah.
The term sea can be the political seas of humanity, and they would definitely be roaring, but what about physical seas? The thing that would do that would be a close encounter. And if you go back into the ancients, it said the seas left their beds, rose up over the lands. And, you know, huge tsunamis took place. And we're still probably awaiting a partial pole shift. Speaking about earth changes, what in the world is going on down there, your neck of the woods, with that 5.6?
Yeah, that actually shook a number of states and did damage. Knocked my power out here, woke me up from I was sleeping that morning, and it woke me up, and the power went out, and we're still having, matter of fact, today we had in central Oklahoma and northern Oklahoma, we had some fours and threes, and it's still ongoing. I mean, it doesn't stop, you know. One of the interesting things, though, did you see that space weather report? I think I sent you a link they're talking about the eerie sounds from auroras on the planet Jupiter, and that Juno spacecraft took a picture of the poles, and it looks like it's literally on fire. Did you see that?
Fire, yeah. Yes. So I wonder
that
what's
so
going
amazing.
On there. Well, there's so many SUVs up there. That's
yeah. Well, you know, we had been gleaning data that they were saying that some of the planets appeared to be brightening. And
yes.
So the only thing I can think is this object in interaction with our sun is really causing some major disturbances with the other, not just Earth. We're not the only ones having earthquakes and volcanoes. Matter of fact, more volcanoes have erupted now. They got a new one, I think, in Kamchatka. But
yes.
You know, but you've got the poles on Jupiter on fire, and that is so bizarre. It is really getting bizarre.
Well, I read an article in your Oklahoma quakes that they were trying to blame it on fracking.
Yeah.
They don't frack that deep, do they?
No. From what I've read on the fracking deal, and, you know, of course, I can't say I back up anybody pouring that crud down in the planet, but usually fracking quakes, from what I have read, they only would go to a mile so deep, or maybe two. When you get, like some of these are running 5 to 6 or 7 miles deep, that's not fracking. That's deep fissure movement. You know, and you know, we're seeing that more and more. And as a matter of fact, they have said that the fracking, that an earthquake that you might receive from a fracking would only be like a 2 or below. And we've been having a lot bigger than that. I mean, it's deeper, and it's actually not only in the fracking area, it's in other areas too.
Wow. That took place in what, Pawnee, they said? Was basically where it was at. How far away from Broken Bow is that?
It's north of Tulsa is where this is at, north of Oklahoma City in that region. It seems like whatever this is, it runs, you know, we had the stories, you and I discussed them on, I think, some conversations years ago. We did some news recordings. We talked about methane coming out of riverbeds north of Oklahoma City and just shooting into the air and all this. And, you know, people thought we'd lost our mind reporting that kind of stuff. But this is up in that region where this was occurring as a precursor. And now we're seeing a lot more activity. I mean, we have earthquakes some days a lot more than California does.
Well, I remember the vision you guys had in both Darnett and the earthquake, but I also remember the one where you saw the rift open up.
Yeah.
And that was around Broken Bow, right? But what I'm curious about, would there be any kind of a line forming, and that this maybe is a precursor to what you actually saw?
Well, it really could be, but it's also really deep. Wherever this movement is seems to be pretty deep. And you remember the movie 10.5 and 10.5 Apocalypse in the pop-ups? You remember, of course, it was for a movie only, but there was, the ground began to split, and it started towards a nuclear reactor, and, you know, it was a big deal, you know.
Yes,
and they finally got it to go around the nuclear reactor, and it wound up going into the Gulf of Mexico. Some of this seems to be working that same theory to some degree, without the nuclear reactor, of course.
Well, you know, they've got to have done some research, come up with that, in a splitting of America into two parts, and how the president tried desperately to stop it from happening. And the closing scenes on that movie were that thing widened. It looked like by the time at the end of the movie, it looked like those inland seas were 50, maybe 100 miles wide.
Well, you know, if you've seen some of the maps, and I know you have, like Scallion and even Stan Dale and Jim Moore, he has naval maps, and they all indicate the same thing. There appears to be a really big body of water in the middle of the country when some of this is, according to them, over. And, you know, it's like an inland sea and also waterways that go all the way from the north of the country to the south of the country and then in the east and west to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, well, of course, this can happen overnight. I don't think people understand how things can change overnight. I think a good example of that was that Erdogan-Putin wedding.
Yeah.
Were they? I mean, that was overnight. All of a sudden, that alignment. Here's a headline, just for your comments. Planet closer to catastrophic World War III than at any time for 60 years, experts are warning. It doesn't look good for Britain or America if it kicks off. And they said several flashpoints could erupt into a global conflict involving the U.S., China, and Russia. So here we have major articles showing up warning people of the possibilities of World War III. And it's like Putin said, we are in an irreversible trend, and I don't know how to get through to you people. You're talking to the press. You don't seem to understand what this means. But what he was really saying is, look, World War III is coming. I can't stop it. Now, yeah. I remember Obama saying the identical same thing. He thought the World War was coming, and he wasn't going to be able to stop it. So what do these guys know that we don't? Is there a hand in this beyond what we know, but they know? I mean, when you have a president or an executive officer of a country like Russia or even America, and they're saying this is irreversible and we cannot stop it, is that not saying that there's powers much, much higher than them that are orchestrating all of it? Go ahead.
Yeah, I would think that that's very true what you just said. And matter of fact, I was a little bit shocked when you actually came out. You know, we were talking about the coup situation. You know, well, at first we were talking about Turkey shooting down the Russian jet fighter and the trouble there. And then we were talking about the coup in Turkey, and you kept coming back over and over and saying, well, there has to be an alignment between Turkey and Russia. You know, this face-off really can't come through because of it's not prophetic, you know. And I was shocked at how quickly everything began to change, and now we've got the Turkish Navy and the Russian Navy appearing to join forces and beginning to operate side by side in the same waterways. And we've seen Putin a number of times just flat out mention nuclear war and where we're headed. And I think, Stuart, that people have drank so much denial juice over, well, since the Bushes and later on, they've drank so much of it, they cannot understand what Putin is saying. Because it's like he's given clues on the plans of the rich men, but the American people, it doesn't seem to fit the agenda. Because how could you have a nuclear war with President Obama still in charge, the great peacemaker, right?
Yeah, and well, he even got the Nobel Peace Prize
for doing nothing. He got it before he started, basically.
I know. Well, that ought to show the American people something, too. Or maybe even the people of the world something as to who he really is.
I think, Stuart, from what we saw at the G20, a lot of the world already has his number.
Yeah, did you see that deal? Now, I don't know if it was true, but there was a deal where Putin went up to Obama and asked him why they blacked out Trump at a church where he was speaking, And now they got it online where the cameraman says, I'm going to keep rolling with this one. And he's given an order. No, you're not. You cut it. Cut it now.
I saw that.
And it went black.
I saw that. Yeah. I'll mention this anomaly, okay? Let me mention this anomaly and get your opinion of it. You remember a lot of times when you're talking about Manchurian candidates, there was always someone around, or actually red flag people, there was somebody always around that was what they called a handler. You've heard of that term, the handler.
Oh, yes.
And
what's
so interesting, I've watched for 8 years almost, 8 years, that every time Obama basically does anything, Valerie Jarrett is there right across his shoulder watching, and I believe is his handler. And matter of fact, we've heard some little whistleblowing saying she is the handler for Barack Obama. Now, the same group seemed to have Hillary in line for the queenship already. I mean, she's already set to go. She's good for go, basically. And what's interesting, who do you see over her shoulder all the time? You see Huma Abedin, Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yes, that's right.
Obama and was tied in. You know, his handler is from Iran. And
yes.
But they also were serving the Saudi Arabians. And here, Hillary Clinton getting ready to go in, her handler appears to be Saudi Arabian. I mean, this is really incredible.
Well, I think they figured out that the American people are so in denial, so deep into denial, that there's no saving them, and they don't have to worry. The rich men are now starting to come out in full force. They're doing whatever they want. Nobody says anything. Congress says nothing. So here we go. Prophecy does have to be fulfilled. But I think we're kind of on the brink of some major stuff developing. If that Golan war does actually break loose, we're probably going to go in and see Isaiah 17 and then soon thereafter 38, 39. And that'll be basically the end of the United States. Hopefully it'll be delayed for a year, but who knows?
Well, that's true. Watching that, it's very volatile because almost anything that's done against Israel now, Israel is already prepared to respond big, you know. And Israel has already prepared its people because I know some of them, and they told their people they are going to war. So it's not like it's a joke or a rumor. They're prepared. And it's also, we've got that situation holding in the wings, and at the same time, we've got the American election that's coming up November the 8th, and who knows on that. But I do know Jonathan Hansen, you've heard of him as a prophet, you know,
mm-hmm.
out of the country years ago. He has said the next 2 months, people need to find their Elijah cave because it's going to get bad.
Yep, yeah, I've heard that. I don't know. I mean, and then we got the hurricane season, and the latest NOAA report is that we're going to have a great uptick, maybe worse than 2012.
Mm,
so
yeah.
Is that Storm Haman or whatever they called it gone
Maine,
by the wayside now?
It's basically up by Maine somewhere off the coast. I think it's veering back out to sea, so
okay.
Possibly that one's over.
Okay. Well, how do people reach you, Larry, for those that haven't heard you before?
Well, they can go to my blog, LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org, and that's the quickest way to link up with me.
Okay, very good. Yeah, folks, you need to go to visit Larry's website. He's posting practically more than anybody else does that I know of. So if you want the latest updates, that's where you want to go for particularly the critical news, the news that is, heading towards war and other areas of like earthquakes, volcanic activity. Things are changing around the world, Larry, and they're just changing so rapidly now you can hardly keep up with it.
That's right.
But
we've got to watch.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for taking the time to come on board, and it's been a lot of fun. And the news is not good, but it's news that everybody needs to know. And so thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you again Friday for another Night Shadows. So good night, everybody.